we get things underway this afternoon by welcoming back to the program a wonderful friend of our show, an Emmy Award-winning actor who starred as Toby Ziegler on The West Wing, and with many of his castmates, will get back together tomorrow night for a very special West Wing reunion on HBO Max that we're looking forward to. We're so happy to have Richard Schiff back with us here on Downtown. Well, we're so excited for tomorrow night to see this West Wing reunion, and you guys all gathered at the Orpheum in Los Angeles, I understand.
Correct, yeah. It's a beautiful theater, Broadway-style theater, on Broadway, actually, in Los Angeles. And it was a great experience, I have to say. It was lovely to see everybody. I have great affection for everyone that we worked with years ago. We're still in touch. We feel like family. And to be in the Orpheum Theater to do this staged version of a television show was seamless. It just seemed like it all made sense somehow. And it was a lot of fun. I was really happy to be a part of it.
And for a wonderful cause, too, can you talk a little bit about when we all vote and what their mission is?
Well, their mission is to make sure that everyone who has a desire to exercise their right to vote has access and capability to do just that. We're living at a time where voting seems to have become a much more difficult task than it should be, and there's motivation to suppress the vote. And when we all vote, as well as say the ACLU and other organizations, are out there trying to ensure that people have the ability to exercise their vote and help determine their own future. It's a very unusual luxury that we in this country are afforded. It's unusual in this world today. It's the exception to the rule. Where citizens of this country can help determine what the government does and what their future looks like, and this organization helps everyone come to the table, so to speak, and exercise that option.
You're doing the episode from season 3, Hartsfield's Landing, which is about waiting for the returns to come in here, getting ready for the election and hoping that the little town of Hartsfield Landing is an accurate predictor of what's ahead. It's a great episode, and it features that wonderful chess match between you and President Bartlet and a great conversation between you two.
Yeah, I think I didn't remember the episode when I was told which one we were going to do. And Aaron let me know that it was Hartsfield Landing. And I said, okay, I remember the title, but I don't remember what it was about. And he said, it's the chess match with you and Bartlet. And I went, oh, okay, I remember that. And then I read the article. Then I read the episode again. And it was... I had a real emotional reaction to it this time, and I don't remember having that reaction years ago, because years ago it was just a beautiful episode, but now it seems to have a poignancy and a relevance and a resonance that is even greater because we live at a time when our democracy is under existential threat as we speak. And so it's an ode to voting. It's an ode to the act of voting, this episode, in the Josh and Donna storyline, certainly. And in the chess match between Bartlet and Toby, that's really about compelling the president to live up to his potential, to be the best version of himself, and to not be afraid of his own brilliance. And that was remarkably poignant to me today, compared to how it was back in the day. And I was surprised. I was very much surprised at how deeply I reacted to this material.
Well, and it's such a beautiful conversation you have, and it makes me think back when that episode aired in 2002. Yeah, it was about the time when we had elected a president that some felt was great because he's the kind of guy you could have a beer with. And in the 18 years since then, you know, we've reached in many ways a dumbing down where we don't seek the better angels of our nature, but we want those guys that we think can relate to us for whatever skewed reasons may exist. And then, as we've learned, they don't really relate to the common man at all.
Well, what we have now is a president we can go to a brothel with, and we've dumbed down beyond reason, beyond anything that is possible. I'm shocked as to where we are as a nation, and I think a lot of it has to do with the ability of certain interests to suppress the vote and to keep people from coming to the polls and counting the votes accurately. And the man in the White House did not win the popular vote last time by a lot, and won't win it again this time by even much, much more. And yet he might find a way to grab at the power and hold on to it. And that's scary. That's really scary to me. So this organization, whenweallvote.org, is out there to make sure that, and they're not saying vote one way or the other, make sure that, to help make sure that you get the right to exercise your option to vote. And that's what's the most important thing. I don't think that we as a nation went this way. I don't think we dumbed down as much as we actually have, because we didn't vote that way. Nor do I think we did in 2000. If you remember, Gore won the popular vote back then as well. So, this episode was an answer to George W. You're not, I think in this Toby speech, he says, you're not plain spoken. You're not a regular guy. Do not act like it. And it was a call to not be afraid to be smart. Don't be afraid to be the best thing, the best version of yourself. You know, this is, as Bartlett is dominating a chess match with China, and explaining to Sam why, you know, 12 moves ahead of this international war games chess match with China, you know. So he is brilliant, and yet he doesn't want to campaign with the brilliance that he actually possesses, you know, because he's afraid that people won't relate to him. We can't be afraid to be smart in this country anymore. We can't be afraid, and that's why the episode is so compelling to me today, even more so than it was back then.
Yeah, I long for smart. I long for a level of competence that we took for granted for so long.
Well, don't you want to get to the point again where you can forget about the daily news?
Yes.
Forget about the political, where we can actually trust that the person in the Oval Office and the staff around him and the people we elect to fill the chambers in Congress actually care to leave this world a better place than how they found it? Don't we want it? We want that again? Do we have to spend every minute of every day worried that we even have a democracy left? It's shocking to me that this is where we are right now. I'm just blown. Listen, this country's had problems since day one, right? This part of the world has had problems since John Smith, you know, and Jamestown in 1610, right? We evolved kind of the wrong way, you know. We eviscerated indigenous people, and we brought slaves over, and we created a mess. But while we did that, we also created a governmental system that is unique in the world and has the potential to create a more perfect union. And if we work towards that, we have a chance to, you know, to make amends and to make things better, and even incrementally to find a more equitable society. And it's taken decades and hundreds of centuries, you know, to get rid of slavery, to change 3/5 of a human being element of the Constitution, to give suffrage to women, and so on down the line. And we had made great progress in the modern era, and we've hit a reversal into the Dark Ages, and it's going to take a monumental effort for us to climb out of this hole. And part of it is that every single adult of voting age in this country needs to go to the polls and exercise that right. Otherwise, it's not going to happen.
We're talking with Richard Schiff here on Downtown. And my concern, and I don't think it's overblown, is that if we get this wrong, if people don't show up and vote, I'm not sure we get another opportunity going forward. And I don't think it's hyperbole to suggest that.
I, you know, have been accused of being a pessimist in my young life, but I agree with you 100%. This might be our last chance to save it. Every evidence points to a power grab that we have never seen before, and everything's in place. Justice Department is now corrupt. The Supreme Court is stacked in favor of a dictatorship. Voting is being suppressed. If the election goes a certain direction, it will be challenged as illegitimate. All of the things that dictators do, you know, all of the that whole playbook has been in place since way before he got elected. He's been saying out loud for a long, long time that the state needs to be gutted, that we need to destroy before we get better. And destruction is the only method that this man knows. I've seen it. I was in New York. I grew up there. I grew up with this clown trying to grab publicity at every turn, you know, calling the New York Post, claiming to be another person, and bragging about Donald Trump's successes with women in New York. I mean, it was mind-boggling how stupid it was that the press followed this guy, you know, and the media, desperate for any kind of ink and any kind of coverage that gets people to watch, would entertain this idiocy, and it turned, you know, made the guy an international name. It's just bizarre. He has destroyed everything he touched, every business he's touched. He's made real estate in New York with the laundering of Russian oligarch money in the 90s. Impossible for New Yorkers to live in it. It's too expensive. You know, it goes on and on and on. And the fact that he garnered any kind of legitimacy in this political process is beyond my imagination, except that he must be a puppet for some very dark forces, and that's what's the scary part.
Well, and you talked about the rolling back the progress we've made with people of color, but it's women, it's our LGBTQ plus community as well. And when you hear, well, like today, Lindsey Graham talking about the good old days of segregation, it's equally important that we also change the power structure in the Senate as well moving forward.
Oh, no, not just the Senate. I mean, yes, we have to change who controls the Senate. We have to find a way to get rid of Mitch McConnell, for sure, the greatest obstructionist of all time, with his, you know, blank-eating grin. Get rid of him. He doesn't believe in democracy. He doesn't believe in compromise. He doesn't believe in the process. Lindsey Graham doesn't believe in anything, clearly. But not only the Senate, not only the House, not only the Oval Office, but state legislators and state governors, right, and local, city council, and wherever you can alter the power structure where the ones in power are trying to suppress your voice and suppress your vote, and make it difficult for people to affect change in their own communities, in their own states, and in their own countries, get rid of them. Change it. And they're making it very, very hard. You know, Biden's going to have to win by 30 points. He's going to have to win by 30 points. Mitch McConnell in Kentucky, there's no chance of him losing because McGrath is going to have to win by 30 points in order to overturn whatever corruption happens. It's bad. It's really bad. And we are, we've seen the playbook. We've seen Steve Miller imitate Goebbels. We've seen Trump imitate Putin. And it's the propaganda machine is in full force. Everything is in place. We're basically Nuremberg in 1936 at the moment, and it could get really bad.
And I'm surprised more people are not horrified by what played out in Michigan last week, and the word, not unexpected, that this went beyond Michigan, Virginia, and several other states might have these same type of characters planning to destroy democracy.
He's been inciting, this president has been inciting violence since day one. Charlottesville was just a little blip in all of that. He's been calling out the self-appointed militia. He's been threatening it. And clearly, even in the debate, with the, I don't even want to mention their names. Calling out violence and wants chaos. Out of chaos, these profiteers will make a fortune. They're clearly doing it already in this pandemic chaos. Billionaires apparently have made $300 to $400 billion more dollars since this shutdown began. Chaos is what they want. They want us to kill each other. They want us to hurt each other. They want confusion. That's how they will make the most money, and that's how they will retain and grab even more power. And it's clear as the history that is this modern history. It happened in Germany. It happened in Russia. There's a thing about dictatorships. There is a swing, a hard a pendulum swing towards not valuing life. When you have a freedom, and when you have a democratic process, and when you have prosperity, there's a swing towards valuing life. And when you start shutting everything down and scaring people and inducing violence and not caring that 215,000 people have died, clearly there's a swing of the pendulum towards not valuing life. And that's just dark. It's just not what I grew up expecting this country to be. And it's sad and pathetic. But we have the opportunity to overturn it and to change it and to redirect our course. And 40 years from now, the young people in this country can look back on this election and say, I helped save democracy by voting in 2020. And hopefully that's what they'll do.
Well, I hope so. And the other thing they want us to do is to hate each other and see the divisions as being about character, and there's no way to ever reach out across that divide. And to me, that's one of the great things that the West Wing did, is the characters were not black and white. They weren't good or evil. Whichever side you agreed with, you felt that they were trying to do what was best within their vision of what was best for America. And that's why I think this reunion tomorrow night is so welcomed by so many of us, to remember what it was like when we believed that things could possibly work.
Well, the characters in the West Wing, Republicans alike, as well as the Democrats in office, Bartlet administration, had a common denominator in that most of them, if not all of them, wanted to leave the world a better place than how they found it. and maybe there were differences in opinion and differences in philosophy, but no one wanted to see its destruction. That's what we're seeing now. Westering was never an accurate reflection of who we were. It was an idealistic kind of romantic vision of what we could be. Well, you know, what reflects who we are, as far as television shows go, is more Breaking Bad. You know, and when you think about it, when you think about the about poor Walter White and his public servant job, civil servant job as a teacher, and someone who felt like he deserved better, that he should have gotten a bigger piece of the American pie. And on top of that, he gets a catastrophic illness and his health care can't cover himself. And he's now has to support his family. And the only way he can do that is by going bad, going dark. And the ramifications of his actions hurt other people. And he doesn't care. He ultimately just doesn't care. And what becomes important is how much power he can personally grab, to the point that the very purpose of it all, which was to support his family, gets lost in his addiction for more power. And that's exactly where we are right now. We're more Breaking Bad than we are the West Wing, by like a 95-5 percentage ratio.
Well, one more thing we can hopefully change with this election. I'd like to get back to a time of idealism as we strive to be better and not to not fall back on our base nature and selfishness, whatever that might be. But we're so excited to see you all together tomorrow night. And I know it's not the responsibility of television shows to inspire us, but I believe it did, and I believe it will, and we're looking forward to seeing it yet again. And Richard, thankful to you for, as always, making time for us and doing everything you can to encourage people to get out there and participate in democracy while we still can.
Well, I can't stress enough, and I shouldn't have to, and people shouldn't need to listen to me say it in order to be motivated. We all know it. This whole country knows it. Enjoy the show. If you haven't voted yet, if it motivates you to get off your ass and go vote, then great. But no one needs to be told at this point how important it is that they go and exercise their right to vote. So enjoy the show. I hear it's really good. I was very happy to be able to do it. And then we'll see what happens to our country down the road. But right. It was great to talk to you as well, Rich.
All right. Thank you so much, Richard. Be well, and we'll catch you again in the future.
Thanks, pal. You too.